Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And God, we just come before you and just celebrate that you came to earth and died on the cross. And Lord, because you loved us and for our salvation, that we may have an eternal relationship with you. You've given us your word that we can understand better how we're made and better how we can live as you intend us to live, to reflect you in our life and in our families. And we thank you for that. And then, Lord, we thank you for your word. And so I pray anointing on this message, anointing on people, their hearts would be open. I pray you speak to us. I pray you speak to anyone that's watching this, Lord, and that they can see your truth. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I also pray, Lord, anoint me that I only speak words of the Spirit and that they would be received of the Spirit. Thank you, dear God. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to the title to the message. Okay, we can either drum roll on the title to the message here. All right. Wild at Heart. Woo. Okay. So, introduction. This is the wrap-up session, if you will, for the messages, the series on the family, session number 10. Number 10. So as I read each one of the opening to set the tone for the message, I'm going to repeat again and read these 4 points. Number 1, the family is a world in miniature where life lessons are learned. Number 2, a biblical marriage exalts the woman and demands leadership by the man. Number 3, a biblical marriage relationship will teach healthy, lifelong values to children. Number 4, sin messes up everything. Now, as we've looked at these messages for the last 9 weeks, and particularly the marriage relationship, there's, without question, and I think everybody'd say amen that's listened to this, the great emphasis has been placed on exalting the woman. In fact, I just kind of flipped through and I'd say, hey, it's like 90% of it, you know, has been focused on exalting the woman. And I do not apologize for that at all. But this week, I want to focus on actions by the wife that encourage the husband to reach his full potential. Ladies, don't you want your husband to reach his full potential? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And I want you to pay close attention, all right? You work with me, ladies, okay? Work with me on this. Now, as a good radar, you will learn how to get the most out of your battleship. All right? And you, again, you have to, that's a few sessions back, but it applies. And ladies, it's to your benefit for the man to reach his full capacity. Ladies, for the husband to reach his full capacity, it's to your benefit. You are the benefit of this. And so you want to do everything you can to see that that happens, because God's power will be released through him, and that'll be to your benefit. Therefore, okay, ladies, you will need to encourage him to do what he's made to do. Lead, protect, and provide. Now, let's talk about, remember what I'm said. You can do anything you want to, okay? You want to go and be a part of the military SEAL team, or that's the Navy. Well, it's military. SEAL team, you do whatever you want to. But I'm talking about the relationship with the husband and in the family, all right? You need for him to reach his full capacity in the family, husband and wife. You need to encourage him to do what he's made to do. Lead. He's made to lead in the family. Protect. He's made to protect the family. Provide. He's made to provide for the family. That's what he's made for. And so you want him to do that to reach his full, he needs to reach his full capacity to do that. And so you want to see that that happens. And so it sheds a different light on Ephesians 5:23. Have an overhead there. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Look at the context here. Even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Do you see how that ties in? You see how that ties in? It's important in the family. Now, I mentioned this before. I went to a service and I heard a guy speak, and he just tore this all to pieces and reversed it. I mean, it was like, I was like inwardly furious, you know, and could really made a big butt out of myself, you know. But I sat through, smiled, and spoke to everybody, left, and vowed never to return. Okay, but it's like, but the church is as guilty as anybody of messing this up. All right, so we want to look closely and think about what God has said about the family. Now, he's doing this for a reason, because there's power in this relationship. Now, and remember, what have we done 90% of the time over these 9 sessions? We've exalted the woman. Okay, so that's the context. That's the context we're looking at. So the man leading his family, protecting his family, and providing for his family is a warrior. Let that sink in. He's a warrior. He's a warrior. Warriors best lead, protect, and provide, all right? And just as Christ is the head of the church, Christ is a warrior defeating all evil. Again, we have these pictures, and they're great pictures. You know, you got Jesus and got a little lamb by him, you know, like that, and he's holding the child in his lap. But hallelujah, I believe that. But he's a warrior. He's a warrior. And he takes care of everything. In fact, let's just look at a verse here. Revelations 19, 11 through 13. Revelation 19, verse 11 through 13. So Jesus will return. Okay? And he put the lambs in their pens. And he put the kids, you know, in the playground. And then he says, then John says, then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Everybody can go, whoa. You know, so you always think about this. People say, well, you look at the Word of God, this is not God meant, and this is something else, and we don't want to. I said, no, when he comes back and his name's the Word of God, I'm thinking, man, I never messed with that. You said it, I believe it, I may not understand it, but I, because when he comes back, it's going to be the Word of God. And he's like, hate to be standing there, well, I just thought you was kidding about that. I didn't know you really meant it. You know, no, see, it's a, it makes a seriousness to the Bible and what God says in the Scripture and what he says about marriage, what he says about men and women, because when he comes back, he's going to fix it. He's going to fix it. And you know what? There's not going to be any argument. Can you see an argument here? Well, no, hold off here. It's not going to happen. It's like, oh, okay. Yep, this is it. This is it. All right? So in connection with this, ladies, I have a reading assignment for you. All right? A reading assignment. Some of you have an overhead here. Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. Have you all read that? The ladies? The ladies? Now, it's a book for the guys, but the guys don't need to read it. Ladies need to read it, all right? Ladies need to read it. And ladies are going to read, this is no fun to read. That's because they're going to say, this is no fun, you know? But that's the reason you need to read it. You need to read this book. And it is fascinating. And it's fairly, I mean, it's been around 20 years or so. But this book, Wild at Heart, by John Eldridge, is very, very interesting. And I think it really is. Gives some great insights and exposes many things about the male, if you will, in the marriage relationship. And he points out the need for the man to be wild at heart. Okay, think about that a minute. The need for the man to be wild at heart. At heart. And he also points out the fact that wives and the church organization often quench male masculinity. Doesn't quench it. in the church, you know, it's like, come on, guys, come on, we'll have a potluck together. You know, it's like, yeah, I'll go. You know, I mean, and it's like, no, he'll go, and he should, you know, but it's like, that's really not what he's made for. That's not exactly wild at heart, all right? So, and what we often see that after marriage, a woman will often destroy the very thing that drew them to their husband. Let that settle in. Wild and dating, but listen, we're married. Got the bathroom to clean now. You know, see, the woman will destroy what drew them to the man and what happened to him. Now, so before marriage, you have the, and you're trying to draw a picture. Before marriage, you have this knight in shining armor with his princess at his side. Amen? Before marriage. After marriage, say 5-6 years after marriage, the princess has 3 kids. And here comes the knight in shining armor on his white horse, and he rides up. And she says, get that horse off the grass. Put the sword up. You're going to hurt one of the kids. Get that silly armor off. We got work to do. Okay? Then he just meekly rides off. And he never, ever is the leader of the family that God intended. The wife caused that. The wife caused, where did it go? You caused that. Amen? No, you're not going to say amen. There's no way you're going to say amen on that. But that's what happens. But you see the picture? What happens? So life just kind of overtakes you. Now, here's something. I have taught this subject on relationship hundreds of times. And I fully believe that what I taught was from the Lord. And I've told you as much. I've been pretty bold about what I thought about. And it's been learned through very practical and difficult circumstances. And then, too, I've seen the fruit of its teaching. And so I have a confidence. And I see the fruit of the necessity of really putting a man in a leadership role, taking responsibility. And I've told you before, a couple sit down and talk to me. I start the counseling session with, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Now, we'll move on from that point. So I give the guys no slack whatsoever. You know, I'm not just a compassionate, you know, counselor to the guys. So that's where I always start. And I don't apologize for that, and I think that's the way it should be, all right? And that's what these last 9 sessions have communicated. Now, what happened over the years, I had this, like, gnawing inside of me. And it's like, not that something I was sharing was wrong, but what was kind of gnawing inside of me was that something was missing, okay? And so I just would feel like there's something missing in it. And I couldn't put my arms around it. And so I reflected on it, and I just asked, God, I don't know how this, no, I don't know what this is. Show me. You need to show me. Tell me what's going on here. Now, what happened, I literally had a vision. It was incredible. It's a honest-to-goodness vision. Now, a vision is to say, you know, if I say you have a dream, you know what a dream is, okay? Now, what a vision is, it's like a dream, but you see a picture. You just see a picture. Just boop, boop. I always thought, you know, a vision would be like the Apostle John in Revelation. You know, it'd be like 2 weeks long or something, you know, it's like. But no, what it is, I mean, it could be, but what it is, a vision is a snap. It goes, boop, you know, it's a go, boop, and you go, oh my goodness. But you see it, you see it. And I had this vision when I asked this question, God, what am I missing? What am I missing here? And here's what the vision was. And it was, like sometimes God gives you a vision, and then after he gives you a vision, you go, what was that about? You know, like, but I saw this vision, and what it was like a technicolor, beautiful sunset, just a beautiful sunset. And it's like I saw this lake, and I saw trees, and I saw the sun look really big setting behind the lake, and the sky was blue. I mean, it was just beautiful, just like boom, boom. But in the middle of this, I mean, the picture was perfect, beautiful. But in the middle, very in the middle, right in the middle of the sun, right in the middle of this sun part, there was like, you know, if you put puzzles together, you put and see how they're all kind of different makeup. But there was like, there's a puzzle piece missing right in the middle of the sunset. And it was very obvious. Now everything, this picture is gorgeous enough to make me go, wow, but there's this little puzzle piece missing in it. And I thought, well, that's strange. And the Lord like says, these guys are working to make everything right. These guys are working to make the picture right. It's like, I put it on them when I talked to them, make the picture right. And he said, they're doing everything to make the picture right. But there's a hole, there's a piece missing right in the middle of the sun. And that hole is really a hole that's right in the center of their heart. And everything they're doing is making the picture perfect, and they're dying. They're dying. And you're like, oh my gosh. Now that happened quicker than I explained it to you. Okay, I mean, it was like, boom, wow, oh my goodness. So that was like the gnawing inside. I'm missing something. He confirmed it. There's a piece missing, and the piece is in the center of their heart, and these guys are dying. And I thought, oh my gosh. And so I asked the Lord, and so he certainly had my attention. And so I asked the Lord, that didn't help me out on my teaching. You know, you just said you're missing something, but I don't know what I'm missing. And I said, Lord, you gotta help me out. And this happened again. I had another vision. So I had back-to-back visions. I mean, it's kind of amazing. I mean, I'm by myself. I said, Lord, I don't understand what is going on. And it happened again. It goes, pop. And the vision. I just saw it. Now, so I'm, this was 20 years ago, but anyway, so I've been, I don't know how old I was, 40. Oh, gosh. Anyway, but so I had this picture, but here's what I saw. It was the most interesting, something I hadn't thought about, but I saw something happen. And this is the picture. I'm 18 years old. We just finished playing a football game. I can tell you every detail. I'll not bore you with that. We just played a football game at Terra Alta. And so we won that game. It was raining, just rain. It was sloppy, muddy, just sloppy, muddy. And we won that game, and I scored 2 touchdowns. I remembered that. That was in the vision. I remembered that. I scored 2 touchdowns. So I'm walking off the field. Mud just slopping through it, holding my helmet, covered in mud, walking off the field. And then here comes, tiptoeing across the field in the mud, up to her ankles, is Linda. And she comes up, gives me a big hug, kisses me on the cheek, and we walk off together, me holding the helmet. My helmet, my arm, my muddy arm around her, and we walk off the field. That was the vision. That was the vision. And then the Lord said, that's the answer. That's what he said, that's the answer. By the way, if you ever get a vision from the Lord, he didn't tell you a lot. He doesn't tell you. He just, boom. Well, what? Boom. So he makes you kind of work at it. And so I thought, oh my gosh. But when he said, that's the answer, he said, that's the missing puzzle piece. That's the hole in the man's heart. And the hole in the man's heart is the princess honoring the knight. Think about it. The hole in his heart is the princess honoring the knight. Now, as you look, you say, what when I said about the princess, you know, well, I told you the knight and the princess, y'all kind of, yeah. But now this one is like, wait a minute. I like that, but I didn't like this one too much. Listen to this verse. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 12:4. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. But a disgraceful wife is like decay to his bones. By the way, it says the same thing. She's his crown. Well, I walked off the field. No, we weren't. We were just kids. But that was the crown. I mean, the game was over. It was covered in mud. But the last puzzle piece was my arm around Linda and walking off. That was the last puzzle piece. All we did to everything else, that's the piece I couldn't do. That's the piece I couldn't do. And the vision was, that's the piece that I'm telling you you're missing when you share and teach about marriage. That's what's missing, is the princess honoring the knight. Now remember, this is 10 sessions. You can't pick out one and say, okay, we're going to base our whole marriage on this. But no, it all works together. Now, you may say, ladies, that's not practical. This is just not practical. And really, the ladies are going, it doesn't even make sense. Doesn't even make sense. Really, how about Camelot? How about the cartoon Shrek? How about James Bond? How about Gladiator? How about Braveheart? How about the Prince and Princess and Sleeping Beauty? All of those are the knight and the prince. All of them. Every single one of them. And they are a big hit because they're true and they speak to our heart. They're true. Not only that, say you look here at the Sleeping Beauty, they speak to little kids. Why? Because how God made them. See, and God has gone, and that's what, see, it's there. That's what God, it's there. It's there. Now, what's fascinating, this is true, this principle is true in every country, every culture, every race around the world. Around the world. That's watching this thing is a Chinese made movie, and these guys are speaking Chinese and they're flying everywhere. And this guy comes, why, look, saves the princess. Oh, well, how'd the Chinese get this? I mean, come on. The Chinese are stealing Sleeping Beauty. What are here? No, that's just men and women. Men and women. You see what I'm saying? How about any of you ever been to Hawaii? Oh, we had got to go once. And so you have in Hawaii, you have the natives there in Hawaii. And so they've been isolated like, I don't know how many hundreds of years. I mean, they're not sure how they got there. And then they finally, you know, I don't know, 1500s or something, they discovered they were there, whatever. So they're this isolated group. And so they have, and they've kept their culture. And, of course, it's a big tourist attraction. So Linda and I went, and we watched this little clip, and they were out there. It wasn't a clip. They were actually acting it out. So this Hawaiian guy comes out, okay? He comes, he's like this. He's got his native dress on. He's got a spear with fire, you know? He's got, you know? I mean, just one of those. You've seen that. You see that. Like, and then here is this lady comes up, Hawaiian lady. She's, I'm sorry, I don't do that well. And he's over here going, oh, and like they're going, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And then he saves her. How did these guys know? I mean, whoever discovered Hawaii must have just corrupted their whole culture and told them that. No, it's ingrained. It's ingrained. Princess needs to honor the knight. Now I'm talking about full capacity. I've already laid into these guys. They got the whole picture and they're responsible for it. But there's a hole. There's a hole. And they need somebody to walk off the football field with them. They've already played the game. But they need somebody to walk off the football field with them. You with me? Now, I mean, this is a vision from God. How can you not? Anyway, unfortunately, because women do not understand this, many women will destroy that masculine peace with peace that was in fact the very peace that attracted them to their husband in the first place. You ought to domesticate the guy. See? Of course, that's not the guy you fell in love with, but, you know, the house is cleaner. You see what I'm saying? Now, here's the thing. I will never walk off the football field again. You know, like that. And Linda sure is not going to tiptoe through the mud to me again. Okay. She didn't even have that. Now, but still, there's things that she does that I need as an expression to my masculine soul. She can still do that. See, she can still do that. And it makes me feel every bit as masculine as I did then. You with me? Now, I have a great example of this. When we negotiated this land and stuff, I mean, it was an unbelievable thing. How it was a miracle how we got this piece of land and stuff. But there was a guy that was negotiating it for us, and he helped us out. Now, he didn't do the footwork, but he helped us out. And he actually built Reston Bible Church 30 years ago, but I knew him. And so he'd tell us what to do, and I'd go to these negotiations with him. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And he's 80 years old, and his wife would go. She's 79. So they'd go to this, and he negotiated for this land for us to get this land. It was him who did that. And after one difficult exchange, I mean, there's a back and forth, and she's sitting there, and he said that this guy's going after it, and it settles out and works out, and when it's over, she reaches over, and she squeezes, and she says, I just love it when he does that. You know, and he just kind of straightened up a little taller. The 80-year-old knight and the 79-year-old princess. You with me? Ladies, I'm telling you the truth. Now, for 90% of the messages that have related to you, you're going, yes, and you agreed with every point of it. I can tell by your face. This is as true as that other 90%. It's as important because the picture's set, everything, but there's a hole in the guy's heart, and he's dying. And the thing of it is, he needs you to feel that. Oh, I did this. I hate doing this in front of pastors and stuff. I shared this. Oh, gosh. And it just shows my lack of spirituality. But he goes, well, he should let God fill that hole. Oh, you. Oh. Oh. You know, you're going to have to just call on healing after I get done with you. It's like, gosh, you know, it's just like you miss the reality of what you're trying to do and try to spiritualize it and stuff like that. Anyway, just to show you, can be opinionated about certain things. But so what it is, but you've got to realize that there's a responsibility for the woman to keep the life of this thing pumping. Ain't that big, but it's right in the middle of his heart. And so you've got to be thinking about that and your responsibility in this. Again, painting a picture and we put the responsibility, this guy's got to step up. He's got to step up. He's got to play the game. All right? But you need to be a part of that. Now, here's a key question, ladies. What makes your husband feel, notice the word I used there? First time I ever used it for the guys. First time. I have been consistently not using it for the guys and only use it for the ladies. The ladies feel. Guys, you need to make sure how she feels and make sure she feels a certain way. So one time I'm flipping it around here. You need to know what makes a guy feel, okay, y'all with me? Feel alive. alive, adventurous, dangerous. The last one is not a misspoke. Dangerous. Dangerous. Oh, don't do that. Especially don't do it to kids. Oh, no, yes. Yeah, we. No. They'll all live. They'll all live. Amen. Now, so what you do, you must find out what makes your husband feel alive. I mean, really alive. What makes him feel adventurous. Now, by the way, you're not going to necessarily, you know, that's not what you necessarily want to do. It's like when Linda tiptoed across the room, she made me feel alive like that. But she ain't going to play a football game in no way. She don't want to have anything to do with it. But she didn't have to. She didn't have to. So, how do you make him? Need to find out what makes him feel alive, adventurous, and dangerous. Then when you find out what it is, feed it. Feed it. Don't destroy it. Feed it. Feed it. All right? Now, I like all the ladies how you're looking at me. I just want to tell you something. This is how the guys have been looking at me the whole session. Just want you to know. You're due. You're due. Because these guys, that's the way they've been looking at me. Okay, so I mean, you know, same thing. So this is what you need to know. You need to understand that. Now, here's something else. Oh, we're not done. Okay, we're not done. Okay, here's something else. Ladies, there's a little bit more, okay, for you. Remember the picture of me walking off the football field. You got that picture? I wasn't alone. I wasn't alone. You need to tiptoe through the mud and walk off the field with your husband. Okay? You have to engage in what he's doing. You have to engage. Okay, whatever you do, it's nuts to me. That didn't work. That's not working. You know, you need to engage with him because the thing is the two of you together, you're engaging in something that makes him feel adventurous. Say, hunting. Say, hunting, okay? Say, you don't have to go hunting, but you actively engage in things that enables him to go. Oh, help, I'll help you get ready. I'll get in the morning and make sure at 4 o'clock and have breakfast before you leave or something like that. What is it? Then you listen to his exploits when he comes back. I went out there and I sat it up, and this little old sweet deer, I just blew that sucker away. You go, oh, that's so good, hon. You see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? And so you listen to his exploit when he returns. All right. This is good. I hadn't thought about this in years. A situation like that actually happened. What that? And so this lady that just despised hunting, but her husband liked hunting. And so she's trying to work with this the best she could. And I mean, she's trying to go the extra mile. And this is where the issue comes. So this guy kills a deer, and he brings it home, and he hangs it on the swing set. He hangs it on the swing set. And he guts it. Oh, excuse me. That's what you do with deer. You hang them up, and he guts this deer on the swing set in the backyard. Well, he's supposed to be watching the kids. And they had a six-month-old baby. And so what he did, he put her in the swing set, one of those, you know, basket-high swing set, and chained it up high on the swing set. And she's sitting there hanging beside the deer, and he's gutting the deer. And she's spinning around, and as she spins around, she slaps at the deer's tail. Nice like that. And so she came home. That was just too much. That was just too much mud to walk through for her. Just like, anyway. But what I'm saying, but you see where I'm getting at? You know, you kind of got to have to work these details out on these things. But anyway, so, but you have to engage. I mean, for this to work, you have to engage. But the thing of it is, it can be anything. It's what the guys are as different as the women. What is important to him, you know, it can be golf. You think, oh, no, it can be. If it's that, it can be golf. It can be fishing, music, motorcycles, weight training, whatever. It doesn't make any difference what it is. But he has that outlet of wild at heart that's masculine, and it's his. It's his. You see what I'm saying? Because, you know, we've spent 90% of the time saying, this is your responsibility. You better do this. You better pay attention. You better do, you know. And God tells you, you know, I mean, you've been there the last 8.5 sessions. 9.5 sessions. Okay? And doing that. So, and I agree with that. I don't back off an inch off that. But wait a minute. You have got to step up for him to fulfill his capacity. For him to fill his capacity. And it really is a little hole. But when it's in the heart, it's deadly. See, it's just a little hole. So it's not, sometimes it's not that much effort. But it's his, and you're engaging and you're participating in what he does. And then you're listening to his else, because that makes it important. Well, you want to hear what he tells you about shooting this poor little baby deer. You see what I'm saying? So what we need to do for him, and listen to this, for him to be a true knight, I mean, everybody wants it. We want a knight. Amen, ladies, we want a knight. For him to be a true knight, he needs an engaging princess. Or you be the knight. If you don't, you're getting it. No, that's not, I don't quite cut it. You know, no. For him to be the knight, you have to be an engaging princess. Engaging princess. Give him an outlet to be a knight and praise Jesus for his masculinity. Now, how that flies in the face of the world. You praise him for his masculinity. That's what I want. That's what I want. His masculinity. And, you know... And you read the Psalms, you read the Scripture, that's exactly what it says in the Scripture. Here's what you want him to say. It's kind of like David. Psalms 144, verse 1. Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Doesn't sound like this guy's going to potluck. Does it? Does this sound like this guy's going to potluck? He's not going to potluck. See? No, he's going. We're going to get some. We're going to have a battle here, and I'm going to come out on top of this thing and prepare my hands for, train my hands for war, my fingers to battle, and you're right there. But yeah, we are going to get them. See? That's the peace. You go, well, that's silly. No, it's not. Now, I'm going to tell you again, and I just, we're friends, and so I said, if God gave me a vision about this, something I'd never thought of, I'm just telling you, I would take it a little serious about it, of how important it is. I want the guy to lead, I want him to step up, and I want him to do all the thing God calls him to be. All right? Then you be the princess you ought to be. Amen? Amen? And again, you think about it, I'm going to do that. Close with this. It's worldwide. It's worldwide. It's worldwide. And by the way, it makes you, gives you a little insight into you, little boys and little girls. Gives you a little insight, little boys and little girls. See? And so there's all this thing. So with, and so what we do is in the church, we know, we understand. In this section I close with every time. I've closed every session with this. Last section here. Sin messes everything up. But proper teaching, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, will lead God's people to behave like Christ, which will exalt the woman, demand leadership by the man, which will model godliness to your children. Amen. Gosh, what's your view? And I'll share this. What my view of someone who wasn't a believer, what's my view of a man? This is my dad, my granddad. They didn't know Jesus, but they're men. Like, oh my gosh. I mean, that just answers so many things right there by itself, you know. Don't have a vision. And some people, you know, I said, gosh, you're a single mom or something. I don't have a father. I listen, you got a brother or uncle or somebody. You bring them into their life, you know, and you go, let them go hunting. Let them do something like that. You just do that, you know. So there's a lot of godly men around. But you're just wise to know that that's what you ought to do because it's important. It's important. Amen? So you just, and again, the whole thought of it is this is like, this is how God made us. The things I shared with the ladies, what I'm sharing with the ladies. Oh, you never heard this before, ladies, let me tell you. But that's not what I did. I just highlighted what you already knew. You already knew it. You go, yeah. Why are you wasting the whole message on this? I knew that. I mean, you wouldn't say that, but just I highlighted who you are. The guys, I'm not telling them nothing. I'm just highlighting who they are. Now, who would do that? God would do that. God did that. And then he calls, and this is a good term, then he calls Jesus returning. You know, this is Jesus, sweet Jesus, got the lambs, got the kids and like that. You know, he's a warrior Messiah. I said, he's going to come back. Sheep in the pen, kids in the playground. He comes, he's a warrior Messiah. And when he talks about it, there's no question. There's no argument. What he could have done, it's finished. It's finished. So doesn't this all make sense? Hallelujah. Let me just thank the Lord in prayer. Thank the Lord how he's made us. And, you know, thank the Lord for your spouse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you that you are our teacher. And we thank you, Lord. You know, you've made us this way, but as we look in the Scripture, you've told us. I mean, you tell us exactly the way it is in the Scripture. It's not any surprise when you look at the Scripture. No wonder the world wants to get rid of the Scripture. No wonder Satan wants to get rid of the Scripture, because the Scripture tells us the very heart of God and what he's doing in this world. And when Jesus comes back, what is he called? The Word of God. The Word of God. It's kind of like he's going to come back. I told you. He's the Word of God. I told you. There's nothing new. Didn't add a book. I'm just coming back. It's who I said I was. That's it. Now it's in your hands. Now read it. Now believe it. Now do it. But the world. My neighbors. But the school. Well, you know nothing. And I want to underline nothing. Nothing. See, we have the Word and we stand on it. We're outnumbered, are we? That verse in Revelation, we don't sound outnumbered. Jesus comes back and he's called the Word of God. It kind of looks like we win. I don't know. We win like this. And it also points that we can't win without him, because that's what it's supposed to be. Can't win without me. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your Word, thank you for the men and women. Thank you for the families we have here, God. And I thank you that you want to reveal yourself in supernatural power. You're not done yet. You don't need millions. You just need a few, because you'll work through the few. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.